The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Four Chinese media outlets to a list of organizations that should be considered foreign missions in this country because of their ties to the government and the ruling Communist Party in Beijing.
A foreign ministry spokesperson attacked the Trump administration's move as yet another example of the U.S.'s flagrant political suppression of the Chinese media. He said it would obstruct their reporting on the U.S. and betray America's commitment to freedom of the press. State Department officials say the four organizations, including state-run CCTV, will be required to submit the identities of all staff in the U.S. and any real estate holdings just as they would if they were foreign embassies or consulates. Bernie Bennett reporting.
And the worldwide confirmed coronavirus infection rate has hit 10 million. This is SRN News.
This is Nick Anderson, General Manager of Salem Media Group Twin Cities. During times of crisis, this radio station will continue to be a reliable source of news and information. We take this very seriously and ask that you continue to stand behind not only our station by listening every day, but by continuing to do business with our local marketing partners. It's because of their support that we can be a beacon of strength when our culture needs it the most. Visit this station's website to learn more or call us at 651-405-8800.
Our half-off home makeover is here, and we're going to highlight Invergrove Hyundai. A sharp-looking set of wheels at an affordable price. Highly rated and reliable, you can drive away in style with this red 2012 Elantra. Ranked in the top 10 in the Kelley Blue Book list of best cars of 2012. These deals end soon. You can learn more at am1280thepatriot.com. Just past 1 o'clock on this Sunday afternoon. Forecast for today, thunderstorms likely, high of 88. And we got Mitch Berg filling in for Brad Carlson on the Narn starting right now.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities.
It's great to be back in Minnesota today.
Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Berg.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and world. It's the wind beneath the right wing, the shining spot of red in the sea of dismal, dingy institutional blue, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. My name is Mitch Berg, not Brad Carlson. Brad is off on assignment today, and I'm doing something I do, I don't know, three, four times a year. I pop in, I see what life is like on the Sunday half of the schedule. I enjoy myself, and I go back to my regular Saturday kingdom, which I'll be back to, by the way, in 2 weeks. Well, technically 1 week, but next week's the 4th of July, and I have a what we call in the business an evergreen 4th of July show, basically something I recorded, I don't know, a year or two ago, that is there for every 4th of July, sort of like I do for Christmas and for Easter and for, what's the other one? Oh, yeah, the gun rights rally every April, which stayed in the can this year. I didn't need it this year because of, well, you know, COVID. You've heard of that. It's in all the headlines. Anyway, I'm in for Brad. Brad's off on assignment here. And as I often do when I fill in for Brad, I mean, I on my Saturday show, which many of you know about, but some of you may be purely Brad fans, and I'll just run this by you. I normally do the Saturday 1 to 3 broadcast on AM 1280 The Patriot. Have for something like 16 and a half years, going on 16 and a half years now, actually heading towards our 17th anniversary on the air. And I usually keep it to really punchy stuff about the stuff that's in the news every Saturday from 1 to 3. I focus on largely Minnesota issues, occasionally nationwide or international issues, sometimes things of interest to all of humankind. But I tend to focus on the Minnesota sorts of stuff. When I get through that broadcast, I mean, it's not like I don't have plenty more material. I mean, normally when I do my show prep, well, here's a dirty little secret. Most talk radio people do 2 hours of show prep for hour every hour they spend on the air. I don't. I can actually walk in 15 minutes before the show and do a show. And it sounds like it, Berg. Oh, shush. I do my prep all week long when I write my blog, shotinthedark.info. From Monday through Friday, I write about the news of the world, as well, especially Minnesota, and not to mention some history, some current events, some stuff of interest to me, some arts and entertainment, especially music. I write about a little bit of everything, and that's my show prep every week. Anyway, I digress, as I am occasionally wont to do. Sunday, especially these Sundays where I've done a Saturday and I'm in for Brad and I'm just kind of doing an extra 2 hours on the air, it occurs to me I could do another 2 hours banging on the headlines in the news, especially as regards Minnesota, or I could stretch my legs a little bit, blow out a little bit of intellectual carbon out of the cylinders. No, there's not actually a cylinder in my brain, although it's sometimes suggested as much by people on both sides of the aisle. Anyway, I digress again. I stretch out my intellectual legs, blow a little bit of carbon out of the intellectual cylinders, and do something a little more, I don't know, more deep thoughts by Jack Handy sort of stuff. Go for some of the bigger picture questions here. And I'm going to do that today, but it's going to be, have no fear, closely tied to the headlines in Minnesota, especially of this last couple weeks. And I'm going to tie this to a story that itself ties back to Minnesota news, albeit from, 3 years ago. You may not remember. You'd have almost no reason to remember that. There's a trivia question for you, by the way, for when we get to start doing bar trivia nights again, is who was Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate? And this audience is pretty tuned into politics, so I'm going to guess probably half of you get it. Half of you will know it. The other half of you will go, I don't know and I don't care. She was the loser. And you'd be right. There's little enough reason to remember the sitting vice president, much less the also ran. Unless they go on to be president like Richard Nixon or Al Gore didn't. Who was the last one? Anyway, doesn't happen often these days. But the vice presidential candidate for Hillary Clinton was a fellow named Tim Kaine, who's a senator from the Commonwealth of Virginia. And he was somewhere to the left of Hillary Clinton. That's why he was hired. And he's famous to many members of my audience on Saturday, and perhaps many of you in the audience today, for being the father of domestic terrorist Woody Kaine, who was the his Senator Kaine's progeny, who on March 4th, 2017, was one of a group of, quote, anti-fa, self-styled anti-fascists, who basically are the brown shirts of the left, the direct action arm of the radical left, the enforcers, if you will, the goon squad for the radical left. They're the same people, loosely affiliated people with them, were the ones who burned down a good chunk of Lake Street, the Third Precinct, and my neighborhood, the midway of St. Paul. Anyway, Woody Kaine, who I will bet you a shiny new quarter, was out there burning somebody's neighborhood down last month during the George Floyd riots, was involved in a group of people who busted into the Minnesota State Capitol Rotunda, going after a lawful, peaceful assembly of Republicans after the election of Donald Trump on the March for Trump Day, on March 4th, clever, 2017. The crimes they committed. They beamed a old elderly woman in the head with a smoke bomb. What could have gone wrong there? They, being strapping young snowflake millennial men, punched out a 17-year-old girl, because that is pretty much what that crowd does. They will attack people if they have a, 6 or 7 to 1 advantage, and that's if it's a conservative woman, because anything less than 5 or 6 to 1, it wouldn't be a fair fight. The Republican woman would whoop them. Anyway, but so Woody Kaine was one of the group of 6 or 7 that were, quote, arrested, end quote, for carrying out this. Oh, they maced a bunch of people, including some regular listeners of the show, in the face, which is really wonderful if you've got lung problems. Anyway, they're cowards. They're scum. They are the children, the nephews, the progeny of the left's political class. Now, I say this as background to talk about Woody Kaine's father, Senator Tim Kaine, one of the 100 most powerful men in America, one of the 500-odd most powerful, politically powerful men in America, people, really, in America, because there's men and women in Congress. A member of Congress for quite some time now. And, as we said, father of anti-fat thug and woman beater, Woody Kane. This past week, maybe a week and a half ago, Senator Tim Kaine, father of the thumper and thug, stands in the well of the Senate and says, and I quote, "The United States didn't inherit slavery from anyone. We created it." Now, you don't have to read a lot of history to know that that is, how do I put this tactfully? And I have to put it tactfully because this is a Salem station and our language we use here is not even the same that they can get away with on the FM morning shows. No, I have to be tactful. This is baked wind. That's probably the most tactful and yet acerbic way to refer to this. No, the United States did not invent slavery. First of all, we had slaves in this country from, the New York Times reminds us, 1619, when we were a British colony. The British colonies practiced slavery. The French, various French incarnations, and especially in their colonial form, practiced slavery well into the 1800s. The nation of Haiti was entirely composed of French slaves imported from Africa, the survivors of many waves of slaves, 80% of whom tended to die every year working on the fetid, malarial, swampy sugar plantations in the Caribbean. The lot of the American slave, by the way, was a horrible thing, and only surpassed by the lot of those slaves who went to South America and the Caribbean, who, again, in some cases, the Caribbean sugar plantations in Haiti and on Hispaniola suffered 80% fatalities every year. So, not that there's any much point in splitting differences and coming up with taxonomies of horribleness when you're talking about slavery, but if you did, you'd have to remember that French slavery in the Caribbean, or Spanish slavery in the Caribbean, was a very horrible thing, b, existed before there was the United States. And I'll also point out that the Kingdom of Norway in, I believe, I want to say 1252, and by the way, Norwegian history fans out there, feel free to correct me on this. Heck, maybe Brad Carlson will correct me on this. He's my one-man fact-check force here. 1252, the Kingdom of Norway abolished slavery, which, if you take Tim Kaine at his word, would have been delusional since it didn't exist, since it wouldn't be invented for another 524 years until the founding of the United States, when, according to one of the most powerful people in the United States, politically speaking, Tim Kaine, we created it, it being slavery. Now, there's a few reasons someone like Tim Kaine, who, all other indications notwithstanding, is not an ignorant man. He is a learned man. He is an intelligent man. He is a educated man, or at least, well, he's a schooled man, a man who has been to some considerable amount of highly elite education. There's only three real, when you realize that, there's only three real explanations for a statement like that. The first one is the Babylon Bee hired an impersonator, and the satire that was created was beyond parody or reason. That's one. The second possibility, and by the way, feasible, but this has been checked. It was, in fact, Senator Kaine who said that. It's a reach. It's not plausible, but it's possible. The second possibility is that Senator Kaine really, really, notwithstanding his education, his station in society, his schooling, his erudition, the fact that most senators aren't, you know, stupid, he completely beggars reason and is that stupid. Or the third possibility is that he knows better, but he believes his audience, the people who vote for him, the people who vote for the American left, really are that stupid, that ignorant, that highly schooled but undereducated. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go with option three. He knows better, and it doesn't make any difference because he's counting on the fact that his voters really don't know any better. And that ties in with the theme I want to talk about here today. The idea that there's different expectations for people on the left, and they in turn have their own different expectations. We'll talk about that when we come back. Northern Alliance, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. Be right back.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and Radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Relief Factor. Effective pain relief that really, really works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't have talking points. I live it. I've been taking it for a year and a half. I had a lower back pain issue that had been plaguing me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor for 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks, and my pain was gone, and it's still gone. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. Don't take my word for it. See their incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com. And then find out for yourself if this incredible drug-free product could work for you as well as it does for me and tens of thousands of Americans. It's so very, very simple. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee it, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it morning and evening, as do I, for 3 weeks, by the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for me.
One of the things American Pressure offers is a complete pressure washer trailer. That means there's a water tank, hose reels, and everything else you need to do mobile cleaning where you've got the dirt. We've got them available for rent, lease, and purchase, and we'll customize a solution for you if we don't have it on our show floor. Stop in today to find out more.
Get a $4,000 stairlift for just $2,000 now through this special offer from Starlift and this station. There's only one stairlift available. Go to this station's website, click on the half-off home makeover at the top of the page, or call this station now.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. History repeats constantly. As we will find out in the next segment. Oh, there's a cliffhanger for you. I love this song. I could let this one go like all the way into the first verse here. In fact, I just may. Stand by. By the way, don't forget, we got photos and video from all of our 1280 events, news updates, live streaming, and maybe a selfie or two. Not for me, mind you, but that's kind of Brad's turf. The latest and greatest way to connect with The Patriot is to follow us on Instagram. Simply search for AM1280 The Patriot on Instagram. Brad is our Instagram expert here, so... Here we go. Boom, I made it. He hits the post. It's like he worked in music radio or something. Thank you very much, by the way. Always great to be here on the weekends here, filling in for Brad. 651-289-4488 is the number to call should you care to join me here as I sit in for Brad, who's off on assignment today. You can also join us on Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's N-A-R-N Show. Operators are standing by. in both locations here. If you like to talk, the phone, 651-289-4488. If you like to write, Twitter, hashtag NARN show. Check it out either way. So before the break, I talked briefly about Senator Tim Kaine, who said about a week and a half ago in the well of the Senate, quote, "The United States didn't inherit slavery from anybody. We created it," end quote. That's a direct quote. The video is out there. I actually posted it on shotinthedark.info on a post last June 19th, a week ago Friday, on a post entitled, "Only a Couple of Explanations for This." And I listed the explanations that are possible. It's a fiendish Babylon Bee satire that went somewhat amok. Or this highly educated, powerful man is really that stupid. Or that he knows better that, in fact, we did literally inherit slavery from the British, the French, the Spanish masters who, from whom we, well, quite frankly, got this country. I mean, slavery was a fact of life in all of the societies that, led to America, including the Brits. It was a factor of life in virtually every society on Earth going back to the dawn of time. I mean, it's in the Bible. I mean, what were the Israelites doing in Egypt from which they fled? It's in the Bible. It's in the Torah. It's in the Talmud. I always mix those last two up. Which is which? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Israelites were the slaves of the Egyptians. So, Senator Tim Kaine, clearly, is either that stupid, or the Babylon Bee is kicking way outside its coverage, or Senator Kaine knows better, but he believes his audience really is that dim. I vote for three. This ties in with a subject. I'm gonna come back to Senator Kaine in a moment here, because this ties into a deep thought I've been thinking here that I want to talk with you about. If you are an American of Caucasian descent, of Caucasian ancestry, and by the way, almost none of us are of purely Caucasian ancestry in this country. I, a Scandinavian, officially three-quarters Scandinavian, one-quarter Scottish person from a very rural part of the country who never met an African-American person until I was 16, for any reason, because that's how white my hometown was. Am literally, according to the good folks at 23andMe, am literally more African-American by genetics than Elizabeth Warren is Native American. I have a better claim to minority status than Senator Warren does. By the way, I'm not going to be putting in for reparations or anything else. That would be a tad unseemly. But if you're not, if you are by appearance and by culture Caucasian, white, mainstream Caucasian American, and you have an opinion about politics, about economics, and you hold forth on that opinion around the woke American community, which is, well, we'll come back to them in a moment here. The first thing that you're frequently told is that you need to, and I quote, check your privilege. This concept of white privilege, this idea that that there is some privilege that attaches to being a Caucasian American, that that people of color, as the term goes, aren't privy to, is one that is having an intense flowering here in the Twin Cities, as we are told by Karens of all stripes, and especially by the people who are burning down the town this past couple of weeks, largely white, largely far left, largely local, largely deeply ideological, and largely married to the notion that there is such a thing as white privilege. Which, by the way, I had a very interesting interview with a member of Black Lives Matter, probably would have been about 2015, 2016 at the Minnesota State Fair. Now, Black Lives Matter is, at that point at least, was not a completely centralized organization. It was very chapter-based at that point. And while their founders are very proud to admit that they are Marxists, the young man I interviewed at the fair, whose name eludes me, had a fairly interesting definition of white privilege. He said it's the ability to walk into a room without people wondering if you're one of the good ones. And I can see that. That's somewhat legit. And unfortunately, it's not the canonical definition of white privilege, because that term was actually invented by a woman in 1989, a woman named Peggy McIntosh, Dr. Peggy McIntosh. She's a sociology professor at Harvard, has been for 40-odd years now. I think she started at Harvard in the late 60s or early 70s. So she has grown deep, mossy roots at that most intense bastion of academic privilege. We'll come back to that. She wrote a piece called Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, which starts with the following paragraph, and I quote, "Urban progressive privilege is like an invisible weightless..." Oh, that's mine. No. She wrote a piece. It was a published publication by the Wellesley Center for Women, and it opens with this paragraph. "Through work to bring materials from women's studies into the rest of the curriculum, I've often noticed men's unwillingness to grant that they are overprivileged, even though they may grant that women are disadvantaged. They may say they will work to improve women's status in the society, but or the university or the curriculum, but they can't or won't support the idea of lessening men's. Denials, which amount to taboos, surround the subject of advantages which men gain from women's disadvantages. These denials protect male privilege from being fully acknowledged, lessened, or ended." Which, by the way, sets the tone for this entire piece entitled White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, which makes the case, and I say that somewhat sarcastically, that there are privileges that attach to being white that you get just because you're a honky. These privileges, and she lists 26 of them in this article, which I'll post at shotinthedark.info if you need for some reason to purge yourself from any bad food you've eaten in the last couple of days. It's an interesting read. It's an interesting read because this tells you so much about the other side. For starters, in her opening paragraph, this idea that people gain privilege, impart privilege to others by giving up their own, which is complete balderdash. It's akin to saying the members of the Ku Klux Klan became more free by oppressing freedmen, African-American former slaves. Of course, that's balderdash. It'd be like saying the Germans got more free, more prosperous, got better lives by exterminating their Jews. And of course, that is complete monkey doodle. None of those things are true. Freedom is one of those things that yet, and by the way, freedom is the ultimate privilege, a privilege that we should spread to everyone. You don't get more freedom by taking it away from other people or by giving up more of your own. You don't. If I were to say, okay, I will submit to having people wonder if I'm one of the bad ones when I walk into a room, for your benefit, you, if you're smart, would do well to guffaw and go, "What on earth are you talking about? You making yourself a second-class citizen doesn't promote the second-class citizens. It doesn't." These are some of her other contentions, this notion that these are things that you get for having the secret white guy handshake. Quote, number one, "I can, if I wish, arrange to be in a company of people of my race most of the time." Well, that's basic sociology. But okay, number two, "If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area where I can afford and in which I would want to live. Number 12, I can swear or dress in secondhand clothes or not answer letters without having people attribute these choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or the illiteracy of my race." Well, okay, that's a fair cop, although goodness knows if you've ever heard an Iowa joke or a Polish joke or any of the other intra-white bits of social positioning. You might have heard some of that as well, or hillbilly jokes for that matter. "I'm never asked to speak for all of the people of my racial group." This is privilege number 15 that you get for just knowing the white person handshake. I'm just picking them at random here. Number 17, I can criticize our government and talk about how much I fear its policies and behavior without being seen as a cultural outsider. This was written 20 years before the Tea Party, so we'll give her a break on that. And this article, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack by Peggy McIntosh, from 1989, it was 30 years ago now, was the point at which the term white privilege, this notion that whether you're Oprah Winfrey or somebody from the Midway, you have less privilege than a hot tar roofer from Pascagoula because he's white. We'll come back to that when we return. 651-289-4488, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot.
If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. Genesis 950 with water breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can even be used in a carpet cleaning machine. And it's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. Before you purchase new carpets, you must try Genesis 950. It's made in America. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's a disinfectant that kills viruses. It can be used on surfaces and floors by mixing one-third Genesis 950 with two-thirds water. Apply to surface and clean with fresh water. It's great for floors, bathrooms, kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, degreasing engines, and upholstery. It's available on Amazon. However, if you order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com, you'll receive a free spray bottle and discount using code SALEM. That's Genesis950.com. Genesis950.com. Code SALEM.
We can all agree that a good education benefits students, their family, and society as a whole. Education shapes your child into the person they will become. Join your local hosts, Rebecca Hagstrom and Mark Durkin, as they explore how to get the best education for your child while ensuring that the values you're teaching at home are being respected. From cursive to curriculum and everything in between, school is now in session.
Education Nation, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Warning, warning, warning. Once you taste the Rack Shack's Patriot Burger, other burgers will never measure up.
Hey, I'm Nick Anderson, General Manager of AM 1280 The Patriot, and we've partnered with my friend Keith Hittner Sr. from the Rack Shack Barbecue to create a burger worthy of the Patriot name.
It's a half-palm burger that's red, white, and blue through and through. American cheese on top, and the American flag proudly waves over the bun. The Patriot Burger comes with your choice of any of our delectable sides, like our famous hand-cut fries, all just for $12.80.
Best burger in town as far as I'm concerned, and it's $12.80 anytime, any day. Try it today at the Rack Shack Barbecue at the Cedar Cliff Center at Nichols and Cliff in Eagan.
Be careful. Once you try a Patriot Burger, you may never go back to a regular burger.
That's the Rack Shack Barbecue at RackShackBarbecue.com.
Get that Rack Shack attack. Rack Shack Barbecue.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on a bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are much better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play the Patriot Minneapolis.
It's time to throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite AM 1280 The Patriot hosts in high quality with Alexa and Amazon Echo.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and World. It's the Wind Beneath the Right Wing, the show that is making talk radio great again. Hey, don't forget, you can make your home more comfortable, more energy efficient, boost your home value, and much, much more, and for half the price. The half-off home makeover is right here, right now. Improvements, upgrades, they've never been so affordable. Get your to-do list done at half the regular price, but only through am1280thepatriot.com, and only while these deals last. Deals like what? Well, Blue Ox Heating and Air has a new 96% efficient gas furnace, which can offset volatile energy prices and provide great comfort with even more even and steady heat. Plus, it makes less pollution. Keep your woke kids happy as well. That's go to am1280thepatriot.com. Get in on the half-price home makeover. 50% off on homemakers, home makeovers. And you can do your part in getting this economy jump-started again. Anyway, I'm Mitch Berg. I'm in for Brad Carlson today. He's off on assignment. I will be back in spirit at least next Saturday for our 4th of July broadcast. I do a recorded 4th of July broadcast about why 4th of July matters to a conservative today. I don't know if Brad will be back next week or not. I suspect he will. It's the 5th, so it's not as big of a holiday. But I will be back on my regular slot 2 weeks from yesterday, a week from this coming Saturday, on my usual headliner edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Saturdays from 1 to 3. And don't forget, King Banyan is most every Saturday morning live on our sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman. So make sure you check that out. Anyway, the entire Northern Alliance here at your service. Anyway, we were talking about the origins of the term white privilege, which if you live in the Twin Cities, if you intersect with academia or the effluvia of academia, i.e. younger, woke, highly schooled but deeply undereducated 20 and 30-somethings, or say younger staff members of the New York Times, you have no doubt heard or been referred to as someone with white privilege, which is a term coined in an article entitled White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack by a woman named Peggy McIntosh. And it makes the thesis, I posted the link to the article at shotinthedark.info right now. It's in the today's show post. I have a link to the article, as well as a few other articles we're going to discuss here this hour here. Now, the article makes the thesis that if you are white, if you have the Caucasian secret handshake, because you know we all have it, right? I don't know if you people of color out there know this, but yeah, we all have the same handshake. I can't keep it going. No, there's no such white handshake. And in fact, the term white itself is kind of preposterous. I mean, any term that lumps Greeks and Icelandics or North African, I believe it's Berbers, who are basically Caucasians who were natives of North Africa with I don't know, Norwegians or the Dutch, is a preposterous lumping together of people. The culture is every bit as different as Nigerians and Xhosa. Ask your parents, kids. Some of us had to learn a little bit of human geography back in the day. Anyway, she makes the preposition that someone who is white has privileges just by dint of being white, whether you're a farmer in Nebraska or a CEO of Amazon or whether you do hot tar roofing in Louisville, Kentucky. You've got some privilege that Kanye West or Oprah Winfrey doesn't. Now, if you are that hot tar roofer, if you are that farmer, you might be going, what privilege? Privilege over whom? What are you talking about? Where did I get it? What's it getting me? And what can we do about it? Well, what you can do about it, for starters, is to learn. Peggy McIntosh's piece has been accepted as gospel by a good chunk of the American left, and it needs not to be so. There was an article that came out in Quillette, which is a conservative academic magazine, which you know is over the target because it gets so much flack from progressive academics. It's brilliant. Quillette. It's so very, very worth a read. If you want to be part of the resistance against the creeping communism, the creeping Marxism, the creeping deconstructionism in academia, Quillette is the place to be. It's just a place to learn a lot of stuff, including this fabulous article that came out in Quillette, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, I want to say. It's a piece entitled Unpacking Peggy McIntosh's Knapsack by a fellow named William Ray. And it came out in August 2018, so almost 2 years ago. And I wrote about it on my blog at shotinthedark.info probably not long after that. August 31st, 2018 was the first time I wrote about it. And in a piece entitled Unpacking Peggy McIntosh. Anyway, the article in Quillette starts like this. And raise your hands if you start to get the point we're going at here. Peggy McIntosh was born Elizabeth Vance Means in 1934. She grew up in Summit, New Jersey, where the median income is quadruple the American national average, which is to say that half the incomes in Summit, New Jersey are more than four times the national average, some of them many, many more times. McIntosh's father was Winthrop J. Means, a name straight out of Monopoly, I swear, the head of Bell Laboratories' electronic switching department during the late 50s. At that time, Bell Labs were the world's leaders in the new technology of digital computing. Means personally held and sold patents on many very lucrative technologies, including early magnetic gyrocompass equipment, which now helps to guide nuclear missiles and commercial jets and, well, keep satellites in place so you can navigate with your phone and your GPS and communicate with your Uber driver. Yeah. He was that big. Means is also recorded as the inventor of a patent held by Nokia Bell in 1959, known as the Information Storage Arrangement. This device is the direct progenitor of ROM computer memory. You haven't heard of it, but everything you use these days uses it. If it's got a computer of any kind, from your digital watch to your X-ray machine. Which is cited in the letters patent filed in 1965 for IBM. So, long before Peggy McIntosh wrote her paper, her family was already having an outsized effect on Western culture. Ms. Means, her maiden name, then attended Radcliffe, a renowned finishing school for the daughters of America's patrician elites, and continued her private education at the University of London, ranked in the top 50 by the Times Higher Education World University Rankings, before completing her English doctorate at Harvard. Her engagement to Dr. Kenneth McIntosh was announced in the New York Times' Social Register on the same page as the wedding of Chicago's Mayor Daley. If you get to the Social Register, you're big. You're big. McIntosh's father, Dr. Rustin McIntosh, was Professor Emeritus of Pediatrics at Columbia University, founded by slave owners. His mother was president emeritus of Barnard College, an institution in the opulent Morningside Heights district in Manhattan, famous since 1889 for providing the daughters of the wealthiest Americans with liberal arts degrees. Husband Kenneth McIntosh was a graduate of Phillips Exeter Academy. Oh, that's posh. That's the poshest private high school in America, which boasted alumni including Daniel Webster, the sons of Presidents Lincoln and Grant, and a number of Rockefeller offspring. He later completed his elite education at Harvard and Harvard Medical School. By the time he got married to Elizabeth Means, Kenneth McIntosh was a senior resident at prestigious Brigham Hospital in Boston, founded by millionaire Peter Bent. In other words, Peggy McIntosh, the author of Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, was born into the very cream of America's aristocratic elite and has been there her entire life. She is the scion, or cyan, or cyanette, whatever you call it, the inheritor of a family that's in the top fraction of the top 1% of people in this country in terms of social status, of educational status, financial status, and cultural status. Her experiential list, by the way, this is going back to Mr. Ray's piece, enumerating the ways in which she believes being born with white skin simply confuses racial privilege with the financial advantage she has always been fortunate enough to enjoy, all of which means that pretty much anything you read about white privilege is traceable to a, quote, experiential essay written by a woman who benefited from immense wealth, a panoply of aristocratic connections. That is the term for it, by the way. And absolutely no self-awareness whatsoever. This alone calls into question the seriousness and scholarly validity of the derivative works, including his, since they're all the fruit of a poisonous tree. But McIntosh's hypothesis was eagerly embraced nonetheless because it served a particular purpose. It helped to mainstream a bitter zero-sum politics of guilt and identity. Oh, zero-sum, I love that. That's the idea that the pie is only so big, so if you take more pie than your share, someone else gets cut out, which ties directly to the idea at the beginning of McIntosh's Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, that the only way to give privilege to the underprivileged is to give it up yourself. No! The only way to get more privilege is to take more, spread it around, and make sure everyone has it. Of course, you say that to the woke crowd in America, and you will get pelted with rocks and garbage. And it brings to mind the idea that white privilege, being is basically class privilege. And as Glenn Reynolds, the leader of the Instapundit gang, who put me on the map back in 2002, 2003, put it, in our society, the real war is a class war between the elite, the 1% of the 1%, the Peggy McIntoshes and Dan Rathers of the world in their cloistered blue environments, which is being spun as a culture war, which manifests itself on the streets of places like East Lake Street and the Midway of St. Paul as a racial identity issue, framed by terms like white privilege. Why, it makes you wonder if there isn't another much more powerful privilege at play in American society today. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. 651-289-4488. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280. The Patriot.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Look at all these options.
You could fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Pro-life across America, the billboard people.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby?
She is? Will it be a boy?
Or will it be a girl?
We don't know yet, but we heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
You mean like being a president?
Or maybe a doctor?
Well, probably maybe like a singer or dancer, I think.
Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that every baby is a miracle and has the potential to do great things. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Get a $3,895 Konica Minolta copier for just $1,947.50 through this special offer from Tops and this station. There's only one half-price copier. Go to this station's website, click on the half-off home makeover at the top of the page, or call the station now.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Join me right here, right now, 651-289-4488. Or you can join me on Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Two channels to reach me and get on the air live. No waiting. Well, not much waiting. Anyway, speaking of not having to wait, we bring the news to you. We at The Patriot and our sister station, Freedom 1570, recently launched our daily newsletter, The Daybreak Insider, which is your first look at today's top stories. We'll get you a rapid-fire look at the day's news from a conservative viewpoint. Detailed and yet concise, just what you need in the morning. You only have a couple minutes to catch up on today's top stories before logging in at work and getting down to business? Well, that's what the Daybreak Insider is for. Subscribe at am1280thepatriot.com. Use keyword, you guessed it, subscribe. am1280thepatriot.com, the fount of all good things in life. Well, not quite, but it's a pretty darn cool website that gets you to a lot of cool stuff. We have been talking about the origins of the term white privilege. And as Kenneth Ray notes in Quillette, in an article that's just about to turn 2 years old in about 6 weeks, it's not. It's basically what used to be called white liberal guilt, a term you don't hear much these days, a term that dates back to the 60s and 70s, which, by the way, so does Peggy McIntosh. It's when much of her attitude and adult persona was formed, which is fine. But it's basically a way of deflecting class privilege, the privilege of being profoundly wealthy, away from herself and off to, well, those hot tar roofers in Mississippi and those farmers in Nebraska and those blue-collar white guys on Staten Island who would have a hard time knowing if they were privileged. But it did bring up an idea that I couldn't help but explore. And it's a piece I wrote back in May of 2017 after reading Peggy McIntosh's piece for, I don't know, first or second time. At a time, by the way, when Black Lives Matter was first springing into the public consciousness and the term white privilege was first being weaponized as a club to beat people, mostly white non-liberals, non-progressives over the head with. Or insufficiently progressive whites over the head with. And the term is, I mean, there is white privilege. It does exist. It goes hand in hand with the idea of weism, the idea that everyone on earth is more comfortable around and more accommodating of people who are more like them. I mean, this is something that Harvard researchers have found, that the first thing that babies perceive about adults is the color of their skin. I mean, it's part of being human. For better or worse, something we try to grow above. Beyond that, though, I've defined it as being a descendant of a society, being a little sardonic here, but descendant of a society that didn't get itself enslaved. I mean, it's the greatest privilege of all, having no cultural history of enslavement, and in fact, a cultural history of repudiating slavery 800 years ago. And by the way, wishing that all everybody else's society, not just black, but also the Irish, for example, had been as lucky. And on behalf of all my cultural cousins, I'm sorry for those of you who are descended from societies that weren't as lucky or as far out of the way in places that nobody wanted to conquer. But that's part of it. Being a little more sober here, and after interviewing the aforementioned representative of Black Lives Matter, It's basically not what Peggy McIntosh had to say. It's the idea that you know from birth that you are a free citizen of a free society, treated as an individual, not a member of a group, something that is a privilege to which every member of Western society, of Western culture, should be party. Now, the fact that some aren't, some of that is, okay, the fruits of slavery. Some of it is the fruits of communism and leftism, which, by the way, does believe in group guilt, hence the term white privilege. But there's a much more powerful privilege out there. In a piece I entitled Unpacking the Invisible NPR Tote Bag, which lists the privileges that appertain to being somebody with urban progressive privilege. These privileges start with, let's go with number one. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people who believe exactly as I do about the politics, society, philosophy, morality, and the like, all or nearly all the time. My progressive beliefs were never challenged through 4 more years of higher education, much less elementary school or high school. Indeed, they were reinforced while competing views were shamed and shouted down. Number four, when I went into the working world, my politics, social background, and philosophy were never adversarially questioned. And they go on and on. My neighbors, the people in my physical community in which I live, share almost without exception my political, social, philosophical, and moral beliefs. Hello, Merriam Park. What's another good one here? There are a total of 20, 96 of them, actually. Number 24, I can simultaneously eschew racism and racists, even as I gang up with others like me to oppress. Black, Latino, Asian, and women, Asians and women, who disagree with my political, social, philosophical, and moral assumptions. I can say things like, that's not a real, authentic black, Latino, or Asian person, and not get scorned as a racist and patriarch. Take that up, by the way, with every African-American, Latino, Asian, and female conservative running for office out there, by the way. By the way, that's captured in Berg's eighth law of diversity, which means that anybody that the progressives figure are their people get treated with a sociopathic disdain by the left. Now, my children, number 22, and family are safe almost entirely from the economic, social, and criminological consequences of my political, social, philosophical, and moral beliefs. Indeed, I personally am almost entirely insulated from them, which is why, by the way, as Rick Aguilar pointed out a couple weeks back on this broadcast, whenever the children of people with urban progressive privilege, the so-called Antifa thugs who did most of the burning and looting and breaking things, that's why they vent their depredations in the places like University Avenue and East Lake Street. You know, places where they don't really live. In fact, I noticed that years ago in interviewing people from the ancestors of today's Antifa crowd, the group that used to be called the Backroom Anarchist Center. I did a little checking and found like every last one of them called Edina or Woodbury or at the very least, Burnsville home. We're not talking your scrappy working class kids. We're talking people with what? Urban progressive privilege. So this ties back to Tim Kaine, with whom I started out the hour. Exactly how? Well, he has the urban progressive privilege of being able to put out a narrative about life, about universe, about the politics, about philosophy, about reality, about history, with no real expectation of being called on it, no real expectation of being corrected by anyone, because with urban progressive privilege, you get to make up your own reality. You're trapped in a world, at least mentally, that your side made. It is everything that white privilege is, with two exceptions. It actually takes away other people's freedom, and it actually exists. Exactly as spelled out. When we come back, Dr. Douglas Franks will be talking with us about his alternative modeling of the COVID epidemic. What? Stick around. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. Be right back.
Relief Factor. Effective pain relief that really, really works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't have talking points. I live it. I've been taking it for a year and a half. I had a lower back pain issue that had been plaguing me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor for 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks, and my pain was gone, and it's still gone. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. Don't take my word for it. See their incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com. And then find out for yourself if this incredible drug-free product could work for you as well as it does for me and tens of thousands of Americans. It's so very, very simple. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee it, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it morning and evening, as do I, for 3 weeks, by the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for me.
Here's a few of the amazing deals available through our half-off home makeover.
Ah, yes. The half-off home makeover radar is picking up some really massive savings this week. Okay, there's no deal radar, but if there were, it would be showing a front of 50% off savings coming in. That includes a red-hot 2012 Hyundai Elantra from Invergrove Hyundai. Edmunds Expert Review says, thanks to head-turning styling, a fuel-efficient engine, and a long list of standard safety features, the 2012 Hyundai Elantra is a top pick for a small sedan. And you can drive it away today for 50% off. Stay cool and comfortable in the shade with a motorized remote control retractable awning. Installed by the pros at Minnesota EcoBuilder, its rust-proof hardware and fade-resistant fabric will have you sipping a delicious iced tea on the back patio in comfort for years to come. Without the sunburn, of course. Expecting rain? Well, they've got you covered literally in that case, too.
These deals are first come, first serve. So drop by am1280thepatriot.com today.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer.